It's another Victory Monday on the Where Eagles Dare podcast with Lee and Tubby. We're here and we are excited to break it down as it was, but each and every week when the Eagles win, you know what we got to do. We always got to let the music play. You heard right. The Eagles have won again. I could get used to this, Tubby. I really could. So welcome, everyone, to the Where Eagles Dare podcast with Lee and Tubby. Thanks for joining us, whether it's on YouTube, Twitch, or Facebook Live. And thank you for listening to us each and every week on your podcast providers. We really appreciate it, whether that's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Podcaster, Castro, Stitcher, and so many others. Watching the analytics of the pod, and they're just growing, and we really appreciate all those who subscribe to the pod. We got listeners in Canada now, Great Britain, China, like I said before, but I'm not sure how many of those are real. Either that or they're spying on our podcast because we might have some secrets to share. But anyway, we're glad to be here. And I tell you what, Tubby, 3-0. 3 weeks, 3 wins doing this podcast. I could get used to this for an entire season. I don't know about you. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I'm flying high. You know how I feel. And I'm feeling good, man. I the birds are flying high, man. It's a hell of a start to the season with so many unknowns coming in. So to be sitting here 3-0, I'm not going to say I'm surprised that we're 3-0 because we thought we could win these three games, you know. When I say we, I mean I bleed green too, you know. You know, I thought the Birds could really win these three games, man. Very winnable, and we looked like that so far. So yeah, man, loving the 3-0 start for the Birds. Yeah, man, loving it. Loving to see our offense, loving to see our defense, and man, those green jerseys looking really, really, really nice on Sunday. Yes, sir, man. It's always good when you beat a divisional opponent as well, too, man.
It was so much on this game. Again, you know, the Rager thing with the Vikings, you know, like the revenge game, it was kind of silly because Rager's not going to get revenge on us. I mean, Slay had more receptions than Rager did in that game. But this was Carson Wentz. This was the guy that we mortgaged a lot for, to put the future of the ball club in the hands, and things didn't work out the way we planned. We ended up still getting a Super Bowl out of it, but it was like you want to beat this guy. You want Jalen Hurts. If you're Jalen Hurts, you really want to beat this guy because, you know, you took his job and he's got something to prove. He had a good first game with the Jaguars, you know, and you really wanted to make a statement, and the Eagles, I think, came out with their game faces on. As a matter of fact, I want to point something out as far as game faces, is that Nick Sirianni, man, he came out in the Mike Quick jersey.
Throwback.
Now, what was funny, if you see this whole video, you watch everybody walking in with all the swag on, you know, they got the suits, they're looking sharp. And here comes our coach just in a pair of slacks and a Mike Quick jersey. I'm starting to love this guy more and more. Just the things he says and does as a head coach. You could tell that he loves this team. And I think the guys, you know, the team has bought into what Nick Sirianni is preaching. So I think it's huge when your coach does something like that. It just says a little bit about the team, the history of the team, and I think he earns a lot of respect. So, yeah, they came to play at Washington. Now, it may not have gone exactly to plan. I mean, you look at the final score, which was indeed, you know, 24-8, and really, you know, the Commanders, I'm a hard time. I'm going to get there where I don't say the R word, but the Commanders And they didn't score until the final, 2 minutes of the game. So, a touchdown. The safety was a gift. So, you look at the score and you see total dominance. It wasn't a perfect game from the Eagles. It was a really good one, at least for the second quarter. The second quarter was near flawless, I will say that. Yeah. But yeah, the whole game was interesting. It was I don't know, I would use the word concerning. A lot of people would use the word concerning right now. I'm not going to say that. I will say that it's interesting to the way the rest of that game played out.
I would, I just hope that the birds aren't getting overconfident. That's the only thing that comes into my mind. I think, man, they had over 300 yards in the first, and basically just in the second quarter alone, if you really think about that, man, that's like you said, a perfect quarter, it's super explosive. You know what I'm saying? Just where they look like, I think they look around, they go, man, if we're healthy, who can stop us? And it's like they just kind of turn it on and off with their offense. I mean, it's only three games, so we need to have a lot more games before we make that definitive of what they're doing. But it just seems like they're very sure of what they're running. They're not getting too down on themselves, even when things aren't working, especially early on. We saw that in the first game of the year against the Lions, and we saw it in the first few drives of the game. But they just never really got down. Hurst started 0-5. I think that when he started like 1-5 or like 2-6 coming to this one, and then all of a sudden he went 12-14 for 200 and something. Just all of a sudden the numbers just go, whoa. You just look back, and you go 12 passes. I mean, and 12 passes accumulate over 200 and something yards. You just go, man, it seems like at any moment this offense can really explode. Really like the command that they have of it. I just wish we finished. It really looked like that gave me that Vikings game where we didn't really do anything in the second half. Even though I never felt like we were going to lose the game, but you're just like, man, this is an opportunity to run stuff. At least run some different stuff. If you're not going to, try to keep the gas on or, at least try to run some different stuff. But I just thought like sometimes we ran plays that just get us hurt, or stupid plays like the screens to Gainwell off his hands. Just little plays like that where you go,
Right.
We don't need to get cute here. Let's just play regular football. That should do it. But man, really impressed with the birds through these first 3 weeks.
Well, you said something interesting. Yeah, they started off slow. And what was fascinating was the defense did not. The defense was hot from the start. I mean, there was some rumblings. Fletcher Cox had talked about wanting to get after his old QB, and it wasn't anything that was malicious. It wasn't anything where he was like, I'm going to kill the guy. I mean, they were teammates for quite a long time, but to see Fletch come out like how they did on fire was a thing of beauty, because we've kind of been wondering about Fletch lately. He's been kind of quiet. He's been kind of absent. So, they had this nice little friendly meetup on the sidelines, him and Wentz, but it wasn't that friendly once the game started, and yeah, Fletch put him on his back. And the thing that killed me about the defense and the thing that really blew me away when I watched it back again today, and I watched just about every sack in detail, the majority of those sacks they got, 9 sacks on Wentz, were not blitzes, dude.
Right.
They were 4-man rush. But here's the key. Now, if you watch it back, there was one X factor in those rushes that I noticed today. And it wasn't every single blitz. It wasn't every single sack. It was that Hassan Reddick was coming up on the left side. Brendan Graham had moved over to the right end. Now, Hassan Reddick's still playing his linebacker spot. But the ball would be snapped, and they would show 5 on the line. Graham would back out and cover the tight end or cover something in the flat, and Hassan was just bulldozing people to create disruption in the backfield, and then you had Fletch and Hargrave going off and Sweat.
Yeah, you've seen 7 just firing off the ball, just causing problems. You've seen that just number 7 just getting off the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. Soundwriting definitely showed out.
Yeah, so that blew me away that the Eagles defense came out so on fire that they did to be able to put up the number, right? I mean, they just 2-3 and outs. Well, actually, I think the Commanders moved it a little bit on their second possession. But the concern was that the Eagles offense didn't respond. They were cold on the first couple of possessions. What was interesting was that they didn't run the ball. Both times that they went out, they went on like three straight passes. And it was like you started to get frustrated because you're like, all right, guys, let's run the ball. But after that, it was just like I said, a thing of beauty in the second quarter. They started off with a really good drive, and Hurts was really in command of the offense. One of the things that I've said since I've been watching him this season is that he's more confident, and that makes him dangerous because I thought the Commanders played a really good defensive scheme against the Eagles because they played a lot of straight-up man, and they played a lot of tight coverage man, which they were going to make Hurts throw into tight windows. And at first, it did rattle him. And another thing that was a little bit of annoying was that St. Juice, he had some really good plays, don't get me wrong. But St. Juice and Kendall Fuller were popping people before the ball got there on several occasions, and it wasn't getting called. I saw one, it might have been the second half. It was in the second half. It was when Devontae was streaking down the field, and St. Juice didn't even look back at the ball and just knocked his hands out of the way before the ball even gets there. And the announcer's going, oh, see, that was good. He just waited for his hands to get up. No, that's still pass interference, dude.
Still.
It's you grabbed and moved his hands before the ball got there. That's pass interference. So I don't care about, you know, if you want to make a play when the guy puts his hands up on the ball, but St. Juice wasn't doing that. But to be fair, the refs weren't calling it the other way as well. That was a very officiated game that was very low. There were not a lot of penalty flags. I think there was maybe 5 and 4 on each side. And they were really like legitimate fouls. There weren't really anything that I was like, okay, that was a bad call. So I'm kind of, on one hand, I was upset that they weren't getting the calls. But on the second hand, I was glad they let him play. And when they did, like I said, it going back to Jalen, was going into that tight coverage and that where they're trying to run seams at first. I texted you. I said, what we need is some slants and screens. And what did we get? It was like Shane read my mind. Shane Stickin, the offensive coordinator, read my mind. And next thing you know, he's slant to A.J. Brown. They had the just unbelievable pass to Devontae Smith on the sidelines, which may or may not have been a catch.
May or may not.
What are your thoughts on that play to Devontae that really kind of, it really started the momentum in the Eagles' favor, I thought. What did you think about that? Did you think it was a catch?
No. if I'm being honest, it wasn't. But it set up our first points of the day. You know, even when we started that drive out, you got Sanders, and you go quick to AJ, boom. All right, you go, okay, man, that's the slant you're talking about. We hit the slant to AJ, then you start to see they go to the no huddle. That's what I thought was the biggest difference, was once they did complete that slant to AJ, they jumped right on it, went into the no huddle, and I thought that's when the Eagles looked at their best in the offense, is when they were able to string together a couple first downs, and then you would just see, like, when we got past the 50, it would just go no huddle. And I think they weren't really ready for that. Just that constant, like you said, command of confidence. You got to be pretty confident to run a no huddle. That means you're able to communicate on the fly, bop, bop, bop. You know, check downs, audibles, line changes, all of that stuff right there on the fly. You know, so I thought that's what, because the one to Smith, the long pass, that was a no huddle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as soon as AJ gets up, boom, he gets the ball, no huddle, bang, right over the top. So they're kind of like, whoa, we just got hit with AJ cross foot slant over the top, and then we ran that really quick play just to get it out to Dallas Goedert, so they wouldn't challenge the play. So. But then, you know, we ended up getting a field goal, but at least you're like, okay, now we're moving the ball. Granted, it's the third drive of the game for the Eagles. There was no panic necessarily, but you just want to see a little something different. You're like, all right, man, we're throwing in the tight coverage with the man. You know, let's do a little something different. Let's try to move him laterally, you know. And I thought that helped out a lot throughout that entire day. You know, one of the best ones was when Smith ran that drag route and Pascal ran the pick but didn't touch him and got right out the way. That's when you know you're clicking. He knows it's coming. He knows to get out the way. Veteran move. That's why you go out and pick up guys like Pascal, because JJ may hold there. Remember last year? JJ would get caught.
All the time.
JJ would get caught right there, and that would get an illegal pick or offensive pass interference, and that play would get called back. But you put a guy like Pascal in there, and he makes the right play, pick, sends the corner around. You know, it was a lot of really, really, really good things I thought Jalen did well. Here's another thing that may go underrated. Remember when the A.J. Brown touchdown, right? You look across, and he has to trust that it's man. He has to trust that they're in man, or you can't throw the ball to AJ, because the other guy is, it's almost like a dance. It's almost like, okay, both these guys are going to run to the left and AJ should be open. And it works. So, you know, that's some underrated things, just the vision of Hurts saying, okay, they're in man, so I have AJ here. Because you think they're in zone, that ball is picked. Mm-hmm. You know, if any of those guys drop in zone, that ball to AJ is picked. He goes, okay, I'm not going to lead AJ. I'm not going to make it tight and put it just right on him. Boom, third down, just made an incredible play. You know, by the time he caught it, he was down there at the first down. You know, he threw it early enough, but as soon as AJ caught all that momentum, he just falls right in. So that was one thing I thought Jalen did well, was just the confidence to, this is man, I'm just going to trust my eyes. I got this receiver out here, AJ. We're going to run it right. And it worked, man. And so that was a nice touchdown. But, you know, going into this game, Carson Wentz getting pressure on Carson was everything. Mm-hmm. We've seen what happened the week before. Remember, that was kind of one of the things that if we don't get pressure on Carson, we deserve whatever he does to us. And then look at that. They show up with 9 sacks. A lot of key sacks came on third down, third and five early. That's what we saw different from the Eagles in this game. Those third downs where guys were just kind of running on us or just getting that little run play or something that let us down, that pocket just collapsed, man. It was beautiful seeing 7 run off that line, man. Graham was balling 2.5 sacks on the day. I mean, they really stepped up and showed out. And, I mean, they really put a beating on Carson all day.
it never stopped, and it was a good thing, too, because like we talked about, the offense did get a little stagnant in the second half. The thing is about that defense is that I have to say, for the second straight week, Gannon mixed up his coverages. I thought he disguised the coverage as well. You know, and that's the thing, that we had Wentz here. We know what he's like. We know that he doesn't read coverage as well. He holds on to the ball too long when he gets confused, and they played into that. So like you said, what is really, really like what you said there was that on third down, we still came with pressure. We didn't hang back like we had normally done in the past and play this, okay, well, it's 3rd and 10, let's play zone. Because when you play that deep zone, you can't get enough speed to make a tackle. You let him catch something for a 7-yard underneath, and then you end up giving up a first down. When you play that pressure, and even with 4 guys, but you're stunting, you're having one guy come in and Graham back up, or vice versa, you're putting them off balance. And I don't know if the Commanders have injuries on their line or what, but that line did not look good. It looked like they were on their heels the entire game. And talking about A.J. Brown, another thing I like right after that, this is the true man right here, a freaking beast after he scored that touchdown. They get the Batman flag. Yeah. I absolutely loved it to make it 17-0, but it was such a huge drive because it meant so much, because, you know, they get the field goal after the Devontae Smith catch, but then they get the strip sack, which was just huge. It had to capitalize on it. The call, like, I think I might have texted you right before I said, you know, that we need a screen here or something. Mm-hmm. And they go with the screen to Goddard. And I was like, when you watch their defense, and I was just glad that Shane Stichen saw this, was that when you saw that they were almost exclusively in man. And it was a good strategy, because they have a good front four that can pressure Hurts. And put everybody in man, tight man. It made it hard for those throws. But what are man beaters? The drag routes, crossing routes, slants and screens. Now, I didn't think we ran enough of those in the second half. I thought we still kept trying to throw downfield while you got guys that are in tight coverage. But when it did work and they were throwing the slants like the one to Goddard that made it 10-0, it was beautiful. And then again, the one to Brown, like you said, man coverage. You go up 17. And then, you know, we go here we go again at the end of the half. And the one thing that I really just, I said it last week. I'm like, I love the fact that Nick Sirianni is right before half, he's not sitting there running it out. If you watch the Colts and the Chiefs game, I don't know if you saw, at the end of the half, Patrick Mahomes wanted to go after the Colts and get some points going into halftime. And Eric Bieniemy called a run play to run out the clock. Mm-hmm. Mahomes, he didn't go crazy, but as they were walking off, he started to needle the coach and say, "What's going on, man?" Mm-hmm. You know. Granted, they were in their own territory, and there was a little bit of, you know, a minute left. There, anything could happen. But right. Bieniemy right there, and I do love Bieniemy as a coach, don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying, what he did there was he played not to lose. He didn't play to win. He played not to lose. Old adage. And what Sirianni did was like, look, we're gonna keep airing it out. And that pass to Devontae and that catch to Devontae. Oh, yeah. Downfield, come on, dude.
I stood up. And if you look there, you can see the ref right here. Well, you can see the hand. You see the hand of the safety. That means if Jalen puts the ball a little further, that safety has a chance at that ball. I mean, he almost put it high point. I don't think there was anywhere else you could have put the ball.
Exactly.
If you look, you have a receiver, you have a defender behind, you have a defender right on top. Like I said, hand right on Smith's back. If Jalen even puts that ball a yard further out, now where he's trying to stretch for it versus just, I mean, this is a Heisman, right? These are the guys. These are the special talent guys that win the Heisman Trophy, man. I mean, this play alone, the Slim Reaper himself.
Exactly. Skinny Batman. That
very Slim Reaper-like. I mean, and if you didn't think this one was, the next play was.
Jeez. Well, and that one in itself, I mean, come on, how can you unpack that? Eagles are making really bad play calls. They try the shuttle pass, and it goes into the dirt. Could have been a horrible play. They try to run a RPO with Boston Scott. And that doesn't go anywhere. And then the clock's running. It's not running on the screen, but it is running for real at the stadium. And they get to playoff with 1 second, and they're going for it on fourth down. They could have easily. Now, I'll be honest with you. I've said this before. In that situation, I'm happy to go up 20-0 going into half. Right. I'm more than happy, especially the way your defense is playing. But not Sirianni. Nope. We're going to put it in our defense, and if we go in 17, we go in 17. Instead, Hurts does the same thing, puts it only where Devontae can get it. Same, almost same type of catch. But this is single Fuller. Coverage. And man, on Fuller. Yeah, right in the corner of the end zone. Just a on thing Fuller. Of beauty. Probably one of my favorite highlights of the season already. Mm-hmm. Then you go into the halftime now with another Batman, with skinny Batman. One around with the cape, and going into halftime, I felt on top of the world. I was like, you felt like you did when you were in the NFC Championship game playing against the Vikings, and you went into halftime up, 24-7 that game, back in 17. Yeah. You felt like, okay, all we got to do is some things right in the second half, and we got this. We got this put away. Now, it could have gone horribly wrong in the second half because they came out. I thought, actually, to be honest with you, watching the game back today, I thought a lot of people are criticizing their second half offense, and with good reason. But I thought that the offense played adequately in the second half. They come out with that big play to Calcaterra. You were in the first possession of the second half. They got all the way down to the 35-yard line.
Yeah.
The problem was that, and I'm not going to judge him too harshly on this. They're running Gainwell, and I said it to you. I just didn't want to see Gainwell unless he's spelling Sanders. I want to see Sanders first and foremost. Yeah. Do not trot Gainwell out there when he's, you know, when he's the primary back. I'm like, I don't get that. Sanders is your primary back. If Sanders is gassed, yeah, throw in Gainwell or Scott. But you're throwing Gainwell out there who's getting stuffed behind the line. You're running into the teeth of a front four. When Sanders was running to the edge, he was getting more ground, but yet Shane was running right up the middle into this really good front four. Montez Sweat is no joke, and you're running right at him. And so it was kind of like you get to the 35, and then you run, and it doesn't go anywhere. So then you back up, run a play action, and then Hurts takes a big sack.
9 yards.
Yeah, and puts him completely out. And then, again, then the next play, Devontae Smith down the sideline, Zhoosh knocks his hands out of the way, and they don't call anything. So that easily, that possession to start the second half, they could have been up 31 to nothing. And then every possession after that, if you watch game back, they move the ball. They get to almost to the 50 or past the 50 on just about every possession of the second half. The problem is that they try airing it out. Like you said, they don't run high percentage plays to try to get the first downs. They were just playing kind of cautious. There were a couple times when Hurts rolled out to run, and instead of sacrificing his body, thank God, he just ran out of bounds rather than try to go for the first down. So people that are complaining about the Eagles' offense in the second half, I will say to you this. Yes, there were things they could have done differently play calling wise, but pump the brakes a little bit. Don't get so upset because they had a huge lead. They were playing situational football. I guarantee you, if the game was 17-17 or 24-24, they would have been playing a different type of offense. I wouldn't say they were trying to run out the clock and be conservative, but they weren't necessarily trying to go for the juggler. Maybe they should have.
Yeah.
And it didn't work out. The same thing on the defensive side of the ball. Gannon went to a more prevent type defense. He backed off on the pressure, still was getting sacks though.
Oh yeah.
It was just a different type of defense. Cause when they did that, they gave up the two big plays to McLaurin in the second half. And I was disappointed in that. But again, without the safety, which again came from a huge fourth down stop by the Eagles on the goal line. And that was after a huge pass to McLaurin. Without the safety there, which again we talked about on text, was like, why are they running the ball to Sanders? Or it was actually Scott in the end zone.
Made no sense.
Yeah, they should have sneaked it out with Hurts first. Goddard got blown up on the play. He was not in. We need somebody in the backfield who can block. I've said that earlier. That's one piece we're missing. So if you're gonna run that play, you got to have somebody with a little bit that can block. Goddard to me is not a great run blocker, you know,
he's a big body.
Yes.
You know? So you got to run around him, but I get what you mean. Technically.
Yeah.
He's a better pass catcher, but.
So overall, like I said, there were situations where the game could have gotten better. The Eagles could have scored a couple of a touchdown and maybe another field goal, and it didn't happen.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is 9 sacks and a defense that never let Carson Wentz rest until 2 minutes left in the game, put him away.
Yeah.
And that's all there is to it.
Yeah, and we could have made it look worse. Remember the play to Pascal? And I was like, that's a little too cute for me. I would just rather Hurts just – we gave away points on that drive. We were on, like, what, the 12-yard line?
Yes.
Maybe even closer than that. It was just a waste of a drive. You're like, if we get anything in that drive, a touchdown, field goal, they probably had to put the backups in. Because it would have looked that much better. That was still in the second quarter.
Yep. Yeah, you think about how many points they scored. They scored 24 points in the second quarter, and they had the fourth down, like you mentioned, and then to settle for the field goal when they could have had another touchdown. Yeah, that Pascal play, like you said, why aren't they just quarterback sneaking it? That was really cutesy to try to string him out. I will say this, and I said it. I thought if Pascal kept going toward the sidelines, he would have had it because Goddard had his block, but he saw the guy coming, and he got happy feet and tried to cut it up the middle, and he went right into the defense. So but the hindsight 2020, it wasn't a great call, like you said. Yeah. It wasn't a great call.
We're just saying like how much more we could have dominated them. If we just did the basic stuff, if you look at our line on that play, our line that got the first down, they pushed Washington way back. D These guys were on the field all game. You have to let your line eat right there. I mean, not all game. I know it was the second half, but we were beating them down. Carson was just coming right off the field. And this is what we talked about, man. Our defense played. I thought they played damn near flawless yesterday. I mean, we at some point, if you have any of the Commanders on your fantasy, with the exception of the tight end, which I had, most of those guys had a few catches there, especially if you had Samuels or if you had McLaurin. Like, they had a few catches that looked like they had a better game than they actually did. You know, 6, 7, and 6. You know, that's not, you know, McLaurin was 6 for 400, 7 catches for, you know, 48. Yeah, it looks like McLaurin had a great game, but if you watch that game, we didn't even know they were there until the second half.
No. Well, I talked about the two big plays to McLaurin at near the end of the game, and that was garbage time stuff, but he did have over 100 yards receiving. Outside of that, you know, you had Samuel with 48 yards. He had a couple of big plays at the end of the game. He had the really good play to open the game on the running game. I thought, oh, we might be in trouble if they're going to start doing that. What cracked me up was that the Commanders could have run more. Gibson, it shows there, you know, he had 12 carries for 38 yards, but early on they were running the ball pretty well, and then they put the ball in Carson Wentz's hands because they were running they ran the reverse to Samuel. They could have put us off balance, but instead they chose conventional just to let Wentz take over, and that was not the right move. But yeah, looking at the stats, the only, you know, Samuel had 48 yards, McKissick 32 out of the backfield. So outside of that, Dotson 10 yards receiving, for crying out loud. So, yeah, total dominance. I mean, you look at Wentz's numbers here, 25 of 43 for 211 yards. But if you look at the near the end of the third quarter, I don't know if you saw the stat, it showed total yards, and it was like 380-something for the Eagles.
Passing 383 yards.
Passing yards, yeah. It was like, oh, actually, yeah, it was like 333 or something.
323 to negative one.
Yeah.
When I seen that, I was like, you know what? And I get that we have the Commanders again later on this year. But if, man, if that doesn't put the – I wonder if we wish we still had Carson Wentz to bed for any Eagles fan. Just know, look, man, when you look at those numbers, 323 to negative one, and you look at these two players, man, I mean, Wentz, and you know what killed me about Wentz, man? I mean, we've talked about a lot. Yeah. You know what killed me about Wentz, man? In the post game, he just, I have to get better. I'm like, damn, yo, he's been saying that for like 6 years straight. The same, you just took 9 sacks, bruh.
Yeah.
9 sacks. Get the ball away. He still has that signature strip fumble. I mean, all his signatures, two of those. He had two of them. Two of those signatures, just strip fumbles, 9 sacks, and all you can say, I have to get better. Look, we need something more specific, sir. Something, because this – but, hey, that's the Commander's problem. I appreciate that he had a terrible game. And, you know, a lot of Eagles fans aren't being that soft on Wentz because, you know, the reports came out that he wasn't that great of a teammate after Foles started getting a little shine. And, you know, that's not really brotherly love. So if you're causing that, they said he just wasn't a good leader, wasn't a good teammate at times. I think that's why they loved and rallied around Foles so much. Because remember, back-to-back seasons, Foles took us on a rally. Mm-hmm. One for the Super Bowl, and then I think the next year.
All the way to double doink through Chicago. And then, except for Alshon Jeffrey dropping a pass, a near upset of New Orleans. They had a 14-0 lead in that game until Brandon Brooks goes out with an injury. So yeah, Nick was doing it again. Everybody was like, uh-oh, here we go again.
So we don't have those playoff memories. Mm-mm. Of no. Carson Wentz. Like, he think you had a good regular season, sir. And there are a lot of quarterbacks that have. We appreciate you, you know, but Nick Foles has a statue out in front. Mm-hmm. Of Philadelphia. So, and it's already been, what, 2-3 years removed now, plus the benching. He was done halfway through that season before Hurts came in and played well against the Saints. You were like 4-8 at the time. So Eagles are already over. I think, like I said, I think we were 4-8 when Hurts, when they finally moved on from him. So considering that losing season, then the two that you've already been away, welcome, You're welcome, man. I just know he wished he was on the other side. He said to that's a good line. I know a lot of those guys. That's a good. He kept repeating that. That's a good line over there. Well, you get sacked 9 times. What else are you going to say?
Well, you know, he had a good offensive line when he was here, but there was, you know, if you look at, I'll address the 2017 thing real quick. That first part of the season, he was getting the ball out quick. He was making good decisions. And I think a lot of that goes to the credit of the offensive coaching staff. I think we're seeing a little bit of that in Jacksonville. And I don't want to talk about Jacksonville too much with what Peterson is doing with Trevor Lawrence right now. And that's where Carson was at in that 2017 season. They ripped off a massive amount of wins. They lose to Kansas City, and then they just went on a run, the Eagles did, under Carson. And he looked like he was going to be a star. The injury happened, and everything changed for him. He couldn't stay on the field. And I truly believe, had he maintained his form from 17, I think Doug Peterson would still be our quarterback, and he'd probably still be here. I think he had a hand. I do think people had a hand in getting Peterson fired. Jim Schwartz, with his candy-ass defense, you know, backing up in the zone, because we lost a lot of games that we were leading the year that before Dougie got fired. The year Dougie got fired, just everything came off, because at that point, the leadership or the ownership, you know, and how he started bringing in every other coach to help Dougie out, and he didn't need it. You're seeing that in Jacksonville right now, that if he's in control of his staff, he, you know, Dougie P can be a good coach. But Carson just played Dougie out of Philadelphia. And by the time that they put Jalen in, it was too late for Dougie. So yeah, it is interesting that he's looking at that line, and he says that it's a line he'd love to have, because that is the subject of this week's This is I don't I can't even describe this photo. You just have to know. If you know, you know. And for those that are listening on the podcast, can't see it, we'll put it on there for you guys to look at as the title screen. But he was owned. Let's just put it that way. You look at this image, if you know, you know.
This meme has been floating around the internet for quite a while. But as soon as you said that to me, I was like, man, who was even thinking about that? Like, that was what got me. Like, how are you thinking about this? The first thing you thought about after the game was like that. Like, that was what tripped me out. It was like, that's the first thing some kid in his grandma's basement thought about right after the game. I just thought that was so crazy, man. That always kills me. The internet's undefeated, man.
This is the best. I've seen the meme 100 times with other different examples, but for this to come out immediately after the game, this is the best representation of that meme I have ever seen. This is one of my all-time favorites. Hell to the Nas. I laughed for a solid 15 minutes when I saw it, and I had to send it to you right off the bat. I'm like, without a doubt, that's the hell to the Nas for this week. But he got a beatdown. Now, the question remains, you know, for Carson, is this it? I mean, if he does not bounce back from this and start playing some ball, you know, he may find himself as an eternal backup. He won't be completely out of the league. Somebody will get him somewhere, but he'll probably... Washington's going to be looking elsewhere if this continues, if he doesn't go down there. So overall, I mean, we've touched on just about everything from this game. It was a great game for the Eagles. There was some, and I want to ask you before we go, just because I talked about it, but I didn't get your take on it. Are there any concerns? You did mention a little bit of just the play calling. Is there any concerns with the offense not being able to score any points in the second half?
Man, I mean, absolutely. Because it plays to the mindset of just finishing. And I don't think that's just an offense. I think that's a team thing. I think that's how the vibes that Sirianni is giving off, Shane, he may be making these guys too comfortable. You know, after they have these great outings, I mean, you look up, your team down there puts up 300 yards in one quarter. You know, you feel like you can take the gas off. You know, I think it's all situational. I think if a team is competing with us and we can't score, then that's a problem. But right now, it hasn't been it. So remember I text you. I said, man, part of me wants more points, but the other part wants them to just get out of there healthy. He was like, oh, you know, I have the latter. Because it came to a point where it's like, man, are they playing to just kind of get out of here healthy? I don't know, man. When you look around that locker room and you have, I mean, just stacked up on defense. I mean, TJ Edwards with 10 tackles, Kazir White with 9 tackles, you know, Smith with 8 for 169, AJ 5 for 85. You look at these numbers. I mean, Smith had a day in one half. Mm-hmm. So I just think it's kind of like human nature just to kind of take the foot off the gas. I really do. I think it's like human nature. And I think that's why so many teams came back the week before when it was madness, because I just think guys start picking up the sunflower seeds on the sideline. You're eating and you're talking about where you're going after the game. Next thing you know, you look up, it's a tie ball game. Now you can't get back into that savage mode that you come out with. So, yeah, man, I mean, it is a concern because you want your team to finish. You want them to finish, because that's what championship teams do. That's what, you know, one thing the Patriots did for all those years, they finished games. Belichick, finish games. They always did things unconventional. Like, man, you still have Brady in 2 minutes to go? Yeah, I want him to know that he's always going to be in. There's never a time to let up. I don't care what the score is. You remember Belichick used to do that? Mm-hmm. Send Brady out there 3 minutes to go. They up 30. And you're like, what? It's a mindset. I don't want you to ever pick up those bags of sunflower seeds unless you're walking into the locker room and the zeros on the scoreboard. So that goes to the young coach more than the offense. We know what the offense can do. I put that on maybe Sirianni's just, he's getting too happy. You know, we have a younger coach, quirky guy. You know, he's probably making these guys feel real comfortable. And I think that's what that's more attributed to, because the whole play calling just changes. Everything just kind of shuts down a little bit. It's like they try to go for the jugular, like those first two drives, and then it was like, ah, whatever. We're still sacking Wentz. He's not doing anything. So is it a concern? Yeah, man, because we're just showing like flashes of a really good team. We haven't put together a full, you know, it's kind of like golf. You know, you can birdie one hole, but what about the rest of the holes? You got to put together that full 18, you know, going out and coming back, you know, that full 18. So, and I like what Sirianni said, you know, after this, he said, hey, you know, it's like a championship fight. It's a 17-round fight or 18-round fight, 17 games, right? He's like, this is just one round. We're going to rest, talk in the corner, clean up. And he said, I know Jalen's going to come in here and tell you guys, forget about this game, but I'm telling you, enjoy it a little bit, sit down, think about it, and then we'll get up for round number 4 in Jacksonville. And I thought that was really fitting and a good way to close out the week.
It's funny that you bring that up, because I was watching Good Morning Football this morning and got to see the full Jalen Hurts interview after the game. And he said, like you said, Jalen's going to tell everybody, forget about it. They asked, you know, how do you feel about the performance and put him away? And the first words out of his mouth was, well, we missed a lot of opportunities in the second half. We could have scored some points. There's things that we're going to have to work on. And that's the thing that, if you know what, I said it in the offseason. I'm all in with this guy. I'm all in. And if you're not, you're really missing out. You're really missing out. As an Eagles fan, you know, because I've been on the message boards. I'm not immune to it. And if I go on the message boards and I see Jalen throws for 388 or whatever he did this week, and it was like, yeah, but no points in the second half. Yeah, but this. All right, if you're going to keep going, but yourself rooting for the Cowboys. Please. Because I get being a negative Eagles fan. I've been one my whole life. You know, the sky is falling. But when I've been a negative Eagles fan, it's because of legit concerns. It's because there are problems. If you can't enjoy a 3-0 start to the season and you're going to find excuses for why they suck, I don't want you as a fellow fan. I said it last week, the Jalen Hurts bandwagon is boarding. If you're off it, you're off it. Stay off of it, because I don't want you on it. And to hear Jalen say that, it made me love him even more, because I said it last week, I've said it 3 weeks in a row. He is the hardest worker right now in the NFL. He is putting in the work for a championship, and he's showing it. So, like I said, right now it's a great partnership between him and Sirianni. So, I while I am concerned a little bit about no points in the second half, I am confident that they are going to work on it this week. I really believe so. They're gonna fix it.
And before we move on to next week, you know what I think it is with Jalen that it's that may be a little underrated is that most quarterbacks, when you come into the NFL, there's not much turmoil. Yeah, Joe Burrow transferred from Ohio State, but that's rare. Most of the times you got these guys, if you make it to the league, you've been the man wherever you've been at, right? But Jalen had so much success early as a true freshman at Alabama, you know, to his, you know, just true freshman, man. You know, he's already starting for Alabama. And then you go through that turmoil, you know, where you get benched in the national championship game. And then you get, you know, then your second string next year. But a lot of folks don't talk about how in that Georgia game, Tua struggling the whole Georgia game. Then Tua gets hurt. They're down. Jalen comes in, two touchdowns, win the SEC championship game. It was like what happened in reverse. And Tua stunk up that whole game. But Tua was never benched. But Jalen just sat there nice quietly. Tua goes down. Jalen comes in, two touchdowns, win the SEC championship game, then transfers at his height, where the Alabama fans are like, oh, man. And they never really had a lot of success with just Tua there after that. And he goes Oklahoma, and he only loses out to Joe Burrow's 60-touchdown, record-breaking collegiate 60-touchdown performance for him to win the Heisman over Jalen that year.
Right.
And Jalen had an incredible season at Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. So he's dealt with a lot. Having a coach like Nick Saban, you're already at the top. Like, you know, as far as, you know, just the coaching and the atmosphere, the environment. And I think he knows that coming to Philly, that just as high as they had Jalen up before he got benched in the national championship game, they can do it here again. And I think that's why he showed up to these press conferences like, I don't even trust y'all. I know the moment I do something wrong, y'all going to act like I'm the worst quarterback in the NFL. So I'm going to just take it week to week with y'all. I'm not going to be up here kikiing. I'm just come up here and do my business and go home. So that's why I think he comes from that downward spiral that he hit at Alabama. And can you imagine being on top of the world and all of a sudden people are like, you got benched in that. Even though you're still one of the greatest athletes in college, you're sitting here with this doubt. You know, then you finally catch a system where you can be consistent from year to year. And this is what the first time we've seen this since high school with Jalen. But I think when it comes to the media, I think he's always going to keep the media at arm's distance because he has already been through what it's like when they turn and everything flips on you and you're one rotation of the ball. You're one game, especially in Philly. You're only as good as your last game. They were buying Mark Sanchez cheese sticks and beat Dallas on Monday night. And then they wanted him out of Philly 2 weeks later.
Yep.
It's Philly.
Exactly.
So I think we have a mature quarterback. He's young, but he's mature. He's not falling for some of those okie dokes. I don't know if you've seen in his press conference where he's real cautious. He's like, forgot what they asked him. He's like, what else did he say? Like, before I answer your question.
Right.
What else did he say? He's just calm. He's just not overwhelmed. You can see how he's looking at these dudes like, he's been shutting them down in the offseason with these little stupid questions. And he was just been like, look, man, we're not talking about that, man. We're moving. He's just been keeping the Philly media at arm's length because he know those guys are from Allentown that work at the Delco factory can't wait for him to mess up. And he knows that. And he feels that. And, hey, everybody likes a winner. He gets that. He knows that. So I think that's what we're getting in Jalen, man. That's why I said last year, man, we need to treat him right because any team would love to have him. And you look around the NFL right now, a lot of teams would love to have Jalen Hurts as their starting quarterback. And that is – I'm going to just leave it at that.
Yeah, there you go. You know, and that's the thing is – so all I'm saying is enjoy it. Stop trying to sabotage it because there is a lot of people who are coming around and saying, okay, maybe this guy, you know, maybe last year. All I had to say was like, what is your problem? It's his second full year as a starter. Where's your patience level for crying out loud? Yeah. And you know what's funny is, you know, the Eagles are 3-0 now. And who else is 3-0 right now? Tua and the Dolphins. Isn't that
crazy?
Yeah, that's just crazy how things work out is that who's leading the league? Now, my son is, again, a massive Dolphins fan, so he was throwing out the whole, you know, Super Bowl thing. I'm like, dude, there's 14 games left in this season. Let's not even talk about it. They were doing it last week, saying, oh, Buffalo and Philly in the Super Bowl. Let's not even go there. Let's win the division. We got a team that's 2-0 playing Dallas tonight that could go 3-0, and we're not even going to be in sole place of the East if that happens. Right. So there's good teams in the East. We got Dallas to worry about. We got a lot to go on. But the next game is another big one, and we are going to talk about this on Wednesday. I think we said Wednesday. We say Wednesday or Thursday. I forget. I don't remember. I think we said Wednesday. We're going to do
Wednesday.
Wednesday. That's right. So this is our next podcast. We're going to talk about Doug Peterson coming back home to Philly. Hopefully we treat him right because he deserves to be treated right. And then once the game starts, I hope they beat him like a rented mule. I mean, that's what we hope. So we're going to preview this game. We're not going to talk about it right now. There is a lot to talk about in this game, but we're going to save that. We're going to save that for the next podcast, which is going to be a good one because, like I said, we got a lot to unpack going in this game. We could start the season potentially 4-0, and I would love it if that happens. We've got next game at home. Let's do it. Again, want to thank everybody for joining us on the Where Eagles Dare podcast on the live stream, whether you're watching us on YouTube, Facebook Live, or Twitch. And we also want to thank all of our regular listeners who listen to us over the air on the podcast providers, whether that is Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Stitcher, Podcaster, Castro, and so many others. If you want to send us a suggestion, if you want to just make a comment and just say, hey, guys, you guys suck, that's fine, too. You can always hit us up at our email address. That is lee.byrd, that's byrd.eaglesdare@gmail.com. We'd be happy to answer anything that you want to ask us. Also, we do our fantasy football podcast each and every week. I'm not going to talk about what I'm doing in fantasy because I want to maintain a positive attitude. Right now, I feel like the coach of the Buffalo Bills after they lost to Miami, and I want to slam stuff into a wall. But let's just leave it there. But we do a fantasy football podcast. We're going to have ours this week, Friday night at 6 o'clock on the live stream. So if you need fantasy football advice, you can reach us there and get it from Tubby. Don't get it from me. I mean, I don't have bad advice. I just don't have good players. I have Devontae Smith on my bench this week for 30 points. So yeah, I'm not feeling too good. But it is what it is. Regardless, we're glad to have each and every one of you here each and every week, and we appreciate it. So I'm going to turn it over for Tubby for his final words of the day.
Yeah, man. I appreciate everybody stopping by the Where It Was There podcast. Unfortunately, I have to root for the Dallas Cowboys defense and Saquon Barkley tonight to win my fantasy football matchup. So I still need help from the Cowboys and the Giants. Go figure that. So as always, fly Eagles fly
and go Birds. And I'm just gonna say, I just want the ground to open up and swallow both teams tonight on Monday Night Football, and then it just be the Commanders and the Eagles the rest of the way. And we just go, what happened to the Giants and the Cowboys? I don't know, ground open up, swallowed them both, and Tubby wins his fantasy league because they're just gone. They're gone. We don't have to worry about them
too
anymore.
Easy.
It's just one of those natural disasters. Maybe we can get the hurricane to go right through.
Oh, man. No.
Okay, man. I went dark there. But anyway, I'll just leave right
Everybody
there.
Everybody ought to be safe from Hurricane Ian if it hits your shores. Yes. We're here at the praying for your safety.
Yes. Okay. I retract
always,
that statement.
Weirdo, fly, Eagles, fly.
And go, Birds. We'll see you in a couple days, guys.